I'm joined by Charles Lister from IHS Jane's Terrorism and Insurgency Centre. Charles, how significant is the decision by the US to arm the Syrian rebels?
I think it's significant in terms of the message that it sends now, is that the United States has sort of definitively shown now that it feels that there's a need to express both support and provide concrete support to at least the moderate opposition. In terms of what exactly that will amount to, it's fairly unclear at this point. But I think the statement of intent is significant, at least for now.
And why now? I mean, obviously, I mean, do you take it at face value that they were waiting for the proof that there was use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime?
I think obviously that will have been a very important element in the Obama administration's mind. But I think what will also have played a role is the ongoing sort of conflict dynamics on the ground. We're witnessing a situation now where sectarianism is rapidly on the rise. Hezbollah and other external forces are increasing their active role in the conflict, and in some respects, the anti-government insurgency is slightly at a disadvantage as things stand now. We're also approaching the start of the G8 summit early next week, so I'm sure it's relatively convenient timing that the announcement was given out shortly before that. So I think there are a number of aspects likely behind it. Obviously, the chemical weapons claims is crucial there. But I do expect there is an extent to which other factors have played into when this announcement has been made.
And you said it's unclear what kind of assistance is going to be provided. John McCain, who's been quite hawkish on intervention for a long time now, has called for a no-fly zone as well as anti-tank and anti-aircraft devices. I mean, is that what you're expecting to see?
Well, obviously, it's hard to tell, and there's plenty of people out there in senior positions who are all calling for a different extent of assistance to be lent. I think it is very hard to tell. I think a no-fly zone on the southern border with Jordan is feasible, but then again, that would amount to a very significant military effort on behalf of whoever was carrying that out. It's worth mentioning, of course, that the United States recently deployed surface-to-air missile systems, several military aircraft, and as many as 4,000 troops into Jordan last week for officially for war games. That may well also have been intended as a sort of subtle message as well. In terms of specific weapons systems, I think what's most likely is. And in what, in some respects, it is needed and perhaps underappreciated is small arms and ammunition, especially through the southern border with Jordan. I think in terms of man pads, I think that's pretty unlikely as of now. I think that would perhaps be a few steps further than what might be expected. Anti-tank weapons is also a more feasible option on top of small arms, as we've seen such weapon systems already coming in, and they've had a positive role in the conflict.
And you mentioned the desire to arm the moderate opposition. One of the biggest concerns is how that can be achieved realistically without weapons falling into the hands of the not so moderate opposition. What's your take on that? I mean, is it possible to do this?
Well, I remain fairly sceptical on that point. We have seen in the past various rebel groups in different areas of the country who have received different kinds of weapon systems that they haven't been seen using before. Early this year, we started witnessing several rebel groups in Deraa in the south utilizing weapon systems which hadn't previously been seen used anywhere by the insurgency. And later investigations alleged that these weapons had been provided by Saudi Arabia, and in a way to back up moderate groups in the south of the country. What's worth qualifying that with is that several weeks later, some of those weapon systems were seen in the hands of Islamist militants, including Jabhat al-Nusra, an al-Qaeda affiliate, further up in the north of the country in Aleppo. So I remain fairly skeptical as to whether or not providing weapons to vetted groups is necessarily always going to be sort of a safe way, or at least a confirmed way of only backing certain groups. I think the extent of coordination and cooperation between localized groups across the country makes it inevitable that some extent of weapon sharing will go on.
And I guess the other concern is that these weapons, David Cameron has referred to sort of tipping the balance of the conflict, whilst other people say this will just fuel it. I mean, we don't know what the weapons are going to be yet, but can it realistically change the balance there?
Well, at the moment, I think we're seeing ourselves in a situation where the armed opposition, the biggest thing the armed opposition lacks at the moment is the ability to counter the military's air power. So obviously the most obvious solution for that would be the provision of surface-to-air missiles or manpad systems. As I said, I find that relatively unlikely. The provision of small arms and ammunition would definitely boost the insurgency in some areas of the country where it's been fairly clear that rebels do still rely on weapons seizures rather than weapons being provided to them. But in general, I think it's going to be hard to, it would be hard to see the opposition being boosted too much or boosted definitively towards victory simply through the provision of small arms and ammunition.